Hey, you're listening to another great episode of the CTO Advisor, where we're coming out of the quarter four of 2021. I'm coming off of AWS reInvent. With me is Magic. How's it going?
Everything fine. Okay, thank you for the invitation.
So pronounce your full name for me and your company.
My name is Maciek Lelusz. I'm CEO of Ileo.
Lelusz, I love the last name. I actually took a semester of French in high school, so
that was good.
I at least understand the accent. I don't know if I can actually say many words in French anymore, but you know, there's that. If you haven't gotten that so far, Magic is based out of Europe, a lot of European customers, and I met him via a mutual acquaintance, someone we had on the podcast, Chris Williams, during AWS reInvent. Are you an AWS hero?
Yeah, happily, yeah. Still here, yeah. Very good.
So we have another AWS hero on, and why I wanted to have Magic on was to talk about the reality of hybrid cloud or hybrid infrastructure. We'll just call it hybrid. From the field, you run an organization full of architects who deal with both VMware, classic VMware environments, and AWS, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly this year.
And what are some of the typical challenges your customers will come to you with?
I think the most important is that they want to consume new software stack. They want to go for cloud native applications, but they still have a lot of business inside their old legacy. Now they're everybody saying all legacy creepy data centers, but basically it's give them a lot of juice. So they cannot cut this, a technological background that they're coming from. And they just go for a cloud native because it's too expensive, too risky. But they see that there is a value because the new people who are coming to the IT, they want to work with those technologies. And they go for hybrid to, try everything what is good from both worlds. So they have, for example, this VMware-based stacks solutions, wherever vSAN, big vSAN clusters, and vRealize automation farms. And from second side, they're going for VMC a little bit. They're going sometimes or mostly for cloud-native solutions, for example, EKS or serverless solutions, because they see the value there.
Now, is the ideal is to get those two environments to interoperate? So the site one is traditional VMware stack that you just described. Site two is AWS, a quote unquote site or a set of AWS VPCs, and then there's some type of direct connect in between.
Yeah, I think so. The challenge is networking, but not anymore. I think, mm-hmm. That the world pushed a little bit the boundary there, and we have a lot of entry points to the public cloud. There is a lot of knowledge on the data centers part of the business that we are cooperating with. So there are a lot of super experts regarding the networking. They are still working. They are still alive. It's not something that's they are here. We are here. And they are able to design those networks, BGP peering and all of this stuff important to make the packets flow from the cloud to your data center and back. So the networking seems to be something that is challenging, but yeah, you can deal with that and then you can consume the new infrastructure. And it's not so far away in the end.
So what you just described is, I think, one of the core pieces of not necessarily data, but an observation that I've noticed over the past year or two, that if you're born in a cloud, you kind of don't think about any of this stuff. It's a box. I put stuff in, take stuff out. It's a box. Whereas in a hybrid scenario, if I'm moving from traditional data center to wanting to consume AWS, not so much. I have the expertise, I have the chops to do the networking stuff. When AWS says that I have to set up BGP, that's not really that scary, because when I'm, it can get complex, but it's not as complex as my data center networks or my multiples of data center networks. They've kind of abstracted a lot of the complexity from me. What have you noticed in the difference in culture between companies that are born in the cloud and companies that are kind of migrating or adopting cloud technologies?
No, I don't know if I use the proper word, but I think that companies born in cloud are ruthless. They just consume it. They just take everything what they give them, and it's amazing how they grow. But sometimes when it's about the governance, about the security, those stuff, not maybe from the very beginning they are there, because you can use so many stuff and it's so easy that you can explode with your idea to, like 1,000 millions of customers very rapidly. And later on, that small security team is going there, that the governance, you saw the event this year. I think that they stopped to talk about security. They start to talk about governance. There was the conversations there, how to be sure that what we are doing is right, because we already did it, Yeah. And in the data center world, it's not so easy, because you need to think a little bit in forward. I'm not saying that it's better. I'm saying that it's just different, that you need to prepare everything because your resources are limited. Your technology is more or less complicated, and you need to have people, governance, sometimes even before the project starting. And, I think that's the difference. It's a big difference, the big different mindset.
Yeah, I read a really great blog post from a former AWS engineer who was only an engineer for 10 months, an application developer. I think he was actually a design interface developer. He was only there for 10 months. And the kind of the gist of the blog post or the title was about his short stint at AWS, but what it really exposed was the culture of AWS when it comes to development, planning, governance, etc. So as you just said that, I put two and two together. It's really funny because AWS's culture is very much like the culture of a startup, where there's not necessarily a lot of planning up front. There's a problem, there's a technical solution to the problem, let's execute the technical solution to the problem. Whereas if you're an older IT shop, you've gotten, I don't want to say burned by that, you've learned the lessons from it over the years that it's not sustainable. I think is probably the best way to put it. I don't know how AWS has figured out how to sustain it to 270 plus services, over 12, 13 year period, et cetera, but they've worked it out. So let's shift back over to kind of the technologies. Can you just oppose or tell the difference between the technologies and the stacks, or the operational differences? I want to focus on the operational differences between a born in the cloud company and a company that's more hybrid.
I think when you are on the beginning of the journey to set up a hybrid infrastructure, this is the thing that the people talk a lot about, the day two operations, because they are really complicated. It's not in the sense that it's impossible, but you need to sustain sometimes two different teams that they have two different competencies, And for example, when you talk about AWS and the native solutions, different mindset, but also different knowledge base. You cannot take those people, and operate inside the, vSAN hyperconvergence platforms. It's just two different worlds, different tools, different mindset again. So the day too is challenging, but it's all about what you want, what the advantage this setup for a hybrid cloud gives you. If it gives you ability to give to your different teams the products and solutions that they're really eager to use, then it's perfect. You know, they will manage to do that if they work in DevOps, let's say methodology, let's call it like this. They will figure it out, and when they will have good leaders. And the old world, you know, like legacy data center world of the VMs, that they will stay here a couple more years for sure. Mm-hmm. They still will have tools to at least have this elasticity of the cloud, so they will be able to move somewhere. Because come on, you cannot buy server right now. At least in Europe.
No, you cannot buy.
Like 300 days.
I'm trying to buy a server right now. Yeah, I cannot physically buy a server for a couple of months.
And you, when you are a big enterprise, you need to take this risk into the consideration. So the cloud is a solution for you for at least that risk. It's many more, but you don't want to take your entire technology stack and throw it to the to the trash. It costs you too much in over those years. So all those people want to work with the tools that they used to. And what I realized on the last re-event through the conversations, that's the very challenging part, to create tools that they are understandable in both languages and also the same, they do the same job.
Then what seems to be even a hybrid of that? So, Gartner would have called that bimodal IT a few years ago. I don't know what they're calling it now, but I think that's a fairly reasonable assessment of where we're at. But adjacent to that seems to be this concept of cloud native in the sense of Kubernetes. So, you know, there's a push to take your VMware stack, bolt on Kubernetes, and then give that cloud native, that consumption based experience for developers for that. And there's also the desire to take Kubernetes and bolt it on top of public cloud and abstract the public cloud and kind of get a best of both worlds. So if you're thinking hybrid, oh, I just have Kubernetes and I can give Kubernetes to my developers and life is good. I don't know if I've experienced a shop where that's actual reality. I think there's some complexity in that. Have you run into this architectural desire to paint over the complexity of hybrid cloud with a Kubernetes?
You know, I always, during that conversation, showing the Pollock paintings, you know, as a architectural reference, because it's appealing to the business to have, you know, one layer to do one ring to rule them all, you know, and just say, I just drop the developers there, I'll drop the developers there, you know. But in the real world, you know, all these little lines, you know, they look like a spaghetti in the end, you know. So from an architectural point of view, it's challenging. It's a lot of networking part there, which sometimes is not yet figured out. Sometimes you need to fight with it a lot from the infrastructure perspective. But I think the more work to do, and a lot of my colleagues doing that part, is to have a relation with developers. I think like a DevRel right now, that you need to just change the way that the code is made. And it's gonna work here, it's gonna work there. If the developer world, the developer will design the code the way that it's easy to be moved, you know, it's not associated to IP address, not associated to the things that even we are coming out from the legacy world don't like. Okay, we can say that we used to that, but if I like it, I don't know if I like it, you know, I just used to it.
Right.
And if I look at the, you know, AWS stack, for example, in the cloud, how it looks, how it's operate, you know, I love it. You know, I love the way how they do it. And to move it to your own data center, it's, let's say, almost impossible from the architectural point of view.
Right.
The solutions not they are not here. The knowledge it's only the big cloud vendors like AWS or Azure or whatever. And because of that, when you want to build something very similar in your own data center, you will hit challenges. And sometimes the challenge is that there are not consumer technology here that you can just take from the shelf, from the box, you know, and use in your data center. It's not existing. And writing it, yeah.
I've run into that an awful lot, that the big picture, and it's not just Kubernetes, it's open source in general. And I'm not going to pick on all open source. I think it's infrastructure open source products specifically are designed for, or not even designed, they lend themselves to big shops. Shops that are able to hire talent to put additional value on top of existing products. There's rarely, you know, kind of the OpenShifts of the world, which takes a big project like Kubernetes and provides an opinionated platform for you to deploy a VMware Tanzu. But even those are lacking in features when you look at big cloud providers. AWS is so ahead of the curve, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, XQS or a Aurora or some of the other features that they manage and they add value to, and getting that out of your open source project or program on premises is, you know, it's not, as you said, I can't go to VMware and buy Aurora.
It doesn't exist. The thing is, if I may, you know, like all of these things that we talk about are tools. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest challenge for an architect, for like guy like me, is to understand the business, what they really need, because sometimes business don't really know what they need, you know, and to define that part, it's just showing the tools that are out there, and you just need to take them, you know, from the shelf. If you want Aurora, don't build your own, you know, will burn
use
so
Aurora.
Much calories. Use Aurora, you know, and okay, you can you have challenge to collect with that, but like you said, okay, some BGP sauce, you know, some sparkling of IP address, whatever, you know, it's not something that it's like a crazy hard. It's just the issue which I'm facing very often, it's like, let's try to build something that is already existing and it's awesome. I'm saying just tools. You want a public cloud solutions, use a public cloud. You have business justification to use a legacy data center. I don't know, maybe you're like an army or some special force that you want to really have those data there. Not perfect. But just don't stop yourself and to use the public cloud or use only data centers. That's about the mindset what I want to come back for a moment. Technology is not religion. It's changing all the time. And if you will stay where you are, I'm vExpert, you know, like 12 years already. So I'm really connected to VMware. But I'm not saying that VMware is perfect for everything. Like AWS is not perfect for everything. But there are very good tools out there that you can use to make your business better. Just not be religious too much.
Yeah, I think that's a whole nother podcast episode, community versus religion. I think one of the byproducts of, and it's not just, I can go back to my Novell days. It's not just the V community or the data center community. Those communities are tight communities, and there's kind of a sense of betrayal when, you know, somebody selects a technology that's not part of your, you know, community that you identify with. It's not a religion. It's just, you know, it's a tool. Like, I don't think the Bosch hammer versus the Craftsman hammer really matters. Yeah. Which hammer I use to nail the nail in, just as long as I nail the nail in.
Exactly. And you really
at the end
of the
day, I've built the thing that I'm trying to build.
Of course, there is a brand that you can love, and you can go for a brand, and you can buy like a silver hammer or a golden hammer, wherever, but it's still going to be a hammer. The most important is that what you like, you know? And it's not that you really believe. And I think that's the point when you talk about hybrid cloud. Just don't close yourself in the silo of one trend, or only containers, or only VMs. Come on, everything is open. This gives us plenty options to go for.
So, Magic, was really great catching up with you. I really appreciate you spending your late afternoon with me. It's early morning here in the U.S., late afternoon in Europe. For those who want to reach out to you and your company, how can they find you?
Yeah, I think Twitter is the best way, like everybody. So Inleo is on the Twitter. I will send the links. You can publish them. It's going to be perfect. And I'm also running my own Twitter account, so you can find me there, definitely. And inleo.com. That's the place where you can find our website. Yeah. Thank you, Keith, for that.
All right. And thanks again for listening to another episode of the CTO Advisor. You want to learn more about the CTO Advisor, you can find us on the web, thectoadvisor.com. My DMs are open. If there is a question around this podcast or hybrid cloud in general, you know, we run the CTO Advisor hybrid infrastructure. We go on this journey that customers are going on trying to integrate traditional VMware environments with the public cloud. DM me at CTO Advisor on Twitter. Talk to you next CTO Advisor podcast.